All right, you can be seated today. We have a good morning ahead of us, and I'm going to share today on how perfect I raised my kids. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. No mistakes, no fights ever in our family, no embarrassing moments, no contradictions, no failures. Most of you cannot really relate to me, but I understand that. We'll just allow you to follow as far as you can. You know, after a busy football day, I can tell a lot of people are just zoned out still. It takes a little while to get going. But we're going to talk today about raising children without raising your blood pressure. Come on, somebody. And that's kind of the theme, and whether that's possible or not, we'll see or not. How many of you have ever had your blood pressure rise a little bit when you're raising kids? And if you weren't, then you were a kid and you raised your own blood pressure. You raised your parents' blood pressure quite a bit. And, you know, they're just, though you call to mind some situations in your life you go through. And, so everybody stand up this morning, would you? We're talking, in this series called Family Matters. And we're talking about it two ways. Family matters, different things we're talking about. And also, family matters. It really does matter. Because at Christmas time, at holidays, most of the time you've got your family together. And it matters. It matters what you do. It matters how you do it and all the rest. And if you're a parent this morning and you've already raised your children, don't let any guilt come on, because all of us could have done better. All of us could have done differently. All that stuff. But as a fun though, many of you then may become grandparents, and you can also help mold and shape your grandchildren. And also your kids. I mean, no, you still have an influence over your kids, though not as great as at one time. But they still listen. You know, the older they get, the smarter you get. That's the way in their eyes. And lots of things can help them along the way. And this morning we're talking about Family Matters, number 3. And it's called, here out of Psalms 127, children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, everybody say a reward. Kids are a reward. They're not a problem. They're not just some other thing. They are a reward. One translation says they are a gift from God. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're not problems. They're not, you know, necessities. They're gifts. They're rewards from the Lord. That, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Isn't that good to have lots of kids? Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, that's unlike what TV tells you, Hollywood tells you, or the rest tells you. Kids are a blessing from God. Everybody say amen. Give them a good clap offer. Would you do that? Come on. They are a blessing from the Lord. And our overall theme is Proverbs chapter 22. We'll read that, then we'll let you sit in just a second. Proverbs 22, train up a child. Now, this is the Amplified. I want you to read this, because this is literally what it says in the Greek, I mean in the Hebrew, and we'll talk about that in the coming. But train up a child in the way he should go, and literally in the Hebrew, this is in there, and then amplifies it. Train up a child in the way he should go. What does he mean by that? And in keeping with his individual gift or bent. Look at somebody say, your kids are bent. Did you know that? Your kids are bent. They're bent. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Let's pray. Father, today we ask you to give us wisdom, that we can walk in your precepts, walk in your ways. Give us understanding hearts. Help us, Lord, to be great parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. We just ask you for wisdom and insight in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hey, give Lord one more good clap offering. Would you do that? Come on. All right, you can be seated today. All right, 4 ways to train your children. Number 1, parents are to teach their children Scripture. It's kind of a given, but let me just say that right off the bat, my wife was the proponent and really the one that really did this exemplary. I mean, just literally, there wasn't a day went by that we didn't read the Bible in our house. Before they went to school, they had to read the Bible. And they got so much, I told one time that we left somewhere and left the kids with my mother and father, and my mom and dad were about to take them to school. They said, oh, no, no, we can't go to school until we read our Bible. And one of the keys is putting, now if you didn't get an outline, raise your hand, they'll give you an outline. I'm sorry, some of you didn't get one. If you don't have an outline, raise your hand, they'll get you one. Number 1, our parents are to teach their children Scriptures. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 says, impress them on your children. Everybody say impress. You ever pressed a shirt or pressed something? Impress them on your children. Because scriptures can go with them when you cannot. And the Word of God can go with them when you cannot. And it can sustain them when you cannot. I remember we were trying to pick a college for men, and we went up to Tennessee, and we went to this college. And when we walked in one of the buildings, there on the wall was the scripture that they had to learn. They had to say every night, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." And so there it was, and we just knew this was a place. And one of the keys is it says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them." Not just at bedtime, but talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. There are teachable moments. All of us have them when you can. Kids are more teachable than other times. And you need to take advantage of teachable moments, because it's not having a classroom. See, in our minds, we get our idea of how you teach a child from the Greek setting. And the Greek setting was a classroom setting. That's only one little way that you teach. You teach by example. You teach when you're on the road. You teach when you're walking. Now, Jesus, the disciples, he didn't have a classroom, you know, every Sunday, every Sabbath. He brought the disciples together. He taught them, and then he saw them again next Sabbath. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They slept with him. They walked the roads with him. That's how it happened. So the way you impress with your children is you're going down the road. You see something, and it's a teachable moment. And one of the greatest things is to have, and don't let those go by, because they literally are the times when they learn more than any other time. Number two, and we're going to talk more about that in a later lesson, but it's teachable moments. Number two, parents are to be good role models. Parents are to be good role models. That is a big key. Parents are to be good role models. Proverbs 1 in verse 8, under that, says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching." Under the percentages, let me give you, they did a test, and here's what they found out. Here's what psychologists found out about how a child learns from you. A child will learn from you 7% from what you say to them. A child will learn from you. What they learn from you is only 7% of what you say. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you this and this, and don't you do this, and here's what it is, and here's how you do it. They learn 7% is what they learn in life is from what you say to them. All right? Second one is 18% from shared experiences. Things that you had together, things that happened to you, trips and this and that. 18% comes from shared experiences that your kids have. 18%. And here is the biggest way your kids learn what you want to express to them is this. 75% from your example. Not what you say, not from shared experiences. 75%. Sorry, go ahead.
I just remembered something, and this was not planned, as you can tell. He's kind of like...
Go ahead.
But not only do you teach your children, but they will remind you of what you teach them. Because when Jennifer, she must have been not even 4, and they were still in their car seats in the back, and Terry and I were having a very heated discussion. And she kept saying, "Mama," and I said, "Wait, Jennifer," because I didn't want this ending. I wanted us to finish it. And she kept saying, "Mama," and I stopped, and I said, "What is it, Jennifer?" She said, "Be kind and compassionate to one another." I had taught them that verse just the Sunday before, and she knew where to use it. And so not only do you teach them, but you have to live what you're teaching them.
Right.
So the example is very important.
So 75% of what you teach your children is nothing you say, nothing you share. 75% is just how you live your life. 75% of what they learn is the way you live your life. Isn't that scary? Come on, somebody. Isn't that scary? And what happens is they do that. So you have to understand, there was a family had some people over for supper one night, And I don't know how they got in. They didn't really want to have him over, but somehow they had to have him over. And so when they're at the table, they got a four-year-old and the people hosting the supper. And they something comes up. They're going to let him pray. And I don't know how to pray. Oh, just pray what you hear mom and daddy pray. Okay. Oh, God, why did we invite these people? Everybody say 75%. 75% of what they learn, they learn from your model. Train up a child in the way you're to live. Now, watch this. Watch this little video thing from Kirk Cameron to be on Growing Pains. You'll like this. Watch this.
A family isn't easy. It's a school where you learn how to die to yourself, love God, and serve other people. If you don't learn how to do that, your family's going to fall apart. My wife and I have kind of a threefold plan to make it work. Be who you want your children to become. Who you are is more important than technique. So if I want my kids to love Jesus, I need to love Jesus. If you want your sons to love their wife, make sure you are loving yours. Because most of the time, my kids are playing follow the leader. It does no good for me to point them to heaven, but lead them to hell by my actions. Secondly, have your children's hearts. Tie strings of fellowship to your children's heart all the time by spending time with them. If all I'm doing is telling them do this and don't do that, and yet it's not in the context of a relationship of love and respect, then as a dad, I've become nothing more than a bully who's stronger than them and can force them to do what I think is best. That's not parenting. That's just bullying. And then thirdly, teach them with the Word of God. God says, train them up in the way they should go. How do you do that? Well, God's given an instruction manual. Kids came with instructions, and it's the Word of God. Train them with it. Teach them who God is, who they are, and how God has designed for them to live in His world.
Find more.
Amen. All right. Be an example. Here's two areas to be a role model in. A, be a role model. Letter A, be a role model in relationships. Be a role model in relationships. If you love your wife, they'll love their wife. If you love your husband, they'll love their husband. If you're antagonistic, they'll be antagonistic. 75% of what they learn and will be like is just you. Nothing you say, nothing you do. I mean, nothing you say, nothing you teach. Just you. 75% they learn from your example. Look at the scripture. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. If you're harsh with your wife, your children will be harsh with their spouse. Then number B is values. Be an example. Be a role model in values. Let me tell you something. The number one resentment among kids toward their parents, the number one resentment of kids toward their parents are broken promises. To a child, maybe, perhaps, means yes. Think we can go? Maybe we can go. You said we could go. No, I said, no, you said we could go. You need to understand one of the biggest resentments of children toward their parents, broken relations, broken promises. Yeah, we'll go. Yeah, we'll do that. I'll be at the game. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll do that. And so what you need to do, if you make a promise, keep your promise. No matter what it costs you, keep your promise. I remember I was dealing with a family, and the root of it came out that the kids were doing all kinds of junk. It came out where the core problem was they were upset at their dad because he did not keep his promise over and over and over again. So one of the keys to doing that to a child is that perhaps maybe means yes. Colossians 3 and verse 9, don't lie to one another. That means your children too. Don't lie to them, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So you need to understand that. All right, skip over number 3, and we're going to go to number 4 and come back to number 3, and you'll see in just a reason why I do that. Number 4, parents are to discipline their children. Parents are to discipline their children. And let me just start out by saying, the worst thing you can do, I think, is use your hand to whip your kids. We always had to spend, I always encourage people, use something different. Use a newspaper, use a spoon, use a belt, use something. Don't use your hand. Don't smack them. Don't, use something else. We used to have this drawer where the spoon was kept. And every time I was going, I'd shake, I'm getting the spoon! And I'd shake their spoon drawer, you know, and they'd run for their lives. And one time, they didn't run, so I pulled the spoon out, and I smacked the spoon on the counter. They ran for that. I looked, and I broke the spoon. Come on, somebody, they've broken the spoon. And so one of the keys is parents are to discipline their children. Proverbs 13 and 24, whoever spares a rod hates. Oh, I thought if you spare the rod, you'd love them more. Whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Now, purpose of discipline, and let me say this right out from that on your notes, to mold character. The purpose of discipline is to mold character. It's not to make them get up in line and look good and be good students and be good children, blah, blah. It's to mold their character. That's the purpose of it. Proverbs 22 and 15 says, a youngster's heart is filled with rebellion, but punishment will drive it out of them. That's true. Now look at under two tips on discipline. A, be consistent. Don't make a rule unless you mean to keep it. I had a family come in one time, and the wife said, we don't know what to do. Our husband, he gets on these kicks. One month, no TV. He said he would literally take the TV out and throw it in the garbage, throw the TV away. Then the next month, something would come on. He'd go buy a new flat screen, bring it back in the house. And so if you're going to be disciplined, be consistent in what you do. Kids don't know the rules. You've all been in that. If you work for some place and the rules keep changing, or you play a game and the rules keep changing, you ever played a card game and the rules keep changing on whoever you're playing with? Be consistent in what you say. Be consistent in your discipline. Let it be the same day in, day out. Understand that. Then B is be fair. Be fair. Do not go in there like John Wayne with guns blazing. Don't go in a bed, you know, just say, all right, I don't know what kind of, just get up there, everybody turn over, and bring the belt out, the spoon out, whatever. Be fair. Find out. Ask. And one of the things is, never ask a child why they did it. Never. Why did you do that? Always ask them what they did. They can answer that. And then you know, one of the funny things is back in the school, discipline has taken a whole new level with cameras everywhere. How many understand that? When there's a fight on the playground, they're brought into Miss Sue's office, and she asks, who started this? And the little boy said, he hit me first. She said, well, let's watch. Hit the play button. There he is. He never touched him. He said, well, he was thinking about it. That's what he was doing. So, but be fair. Find out. Investigate. Don't go in there with guns blazing, thinking you know everything when you don't know everything. You remember growing up, anybody ever got a wrong whipping? Listen, anybody in here ever got a wrong whipping? You were innocent as innocent could be. And you got, one day they called us from Hosanna Christian School, and my kids were over there. And they said, Mr. Ben Workman will no longer be allowed to drive his truck on the property because he burned his tires going out of the parking lot today. I called Ben. I said, Ben, I just got a call from there. I said, you're going to be grounded not only. I said, but let me ask you, did you burn your tires going out of the parking lot? No, Dad. I said, well, they say you did, and they have a witness that you did. And I said, really? So I called back over. I said, he said, well, ask him what color the truck was. His truck is black. I said, what color is the truck? Red. I said, a red truck burnt his tires out? Yeah. And I said, well, my son's truck is red. Okay, let me give me just a second. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It was another kid. It wasn't him. How many know if I had just come up with my guns blazing, it would have brought resentment in their hearts. One time I'll tell you how we disciplined. One time Ben was into Pokemon. I'll just tell stories on him. He was into Pokemon. So I brought him in. I didn't say, get that evil, get that demonic, get that stuff out of this house. Run down the pastor of the church. I don't want that, blah, blah, blah. You know what I went to him? How old was he? About 10. And I said, Ben, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go investigate. You're smart enough. I want you to give me a little study on it. I want you to investigate. I want you to go back and see it. And I want you to study it and tell me whether this is godly or not. I don't know how many days later it was in the garbage. Come on, somebody. It was all in the garbage. And what you need to do is be fair. Don't go in with guns blazing. Do some investigation. Don't, because of past conduct. So number two, other part is two rules for discipline. Two rules for discipline. Number, and then letter number A, children, spank for rebellion, teach otherwise. Spank for rebellion, but train otherwise. Don't whip a child because he reached over and turned the milk over. Get over here now, bend over, I'm going to whip you for doing that. Their children, at 12 years of old, 12 years of age, Jesus stayed in the city of Jerusalem when the parents went back toward Nazareth. And the Bible says 3 days later they come back, they find him, they look all their kids, they find him in the temple. And Mary, you come, all right, Jesus, bend over, Joseph, get your belt out and whip him right now. The Bible says they talked to him, they shared. Because he was, the Bible says he never sinned. Is that right? The Bible says he never sinned. What do you mean he didn't sin? He didn't go with his perfect 12. He was being a perfect 12-year-old. How many know 12 years old don't have a whole lot of long-range planning or thinking? He was a perfect 12-year-old. He stayed in Jerusalem. He said, I thought you'd understand. I must be about my Father. I thought you'd understand that. Have you ever had your child look at you? I thought you'd understand. I thought you'd understand. 12 years old, I thought you'd understand. Come on, somebody. So you need to get that to where you discipline for rebellion. Oh, I will not do that. You can't. Well, you discipline for rebellion, but you train otherwise. Everybody say amen, all right? Letter B, teenagers, take away pleasures but not responsibilities. The dumbest discipline I ever heard of, because we discipline our kids. We told them they can't go nowhere. They're not going to church. They're not going to move. They're going nowhere. That's the dumbest discipline I ever heard in my life. Why are you? You don't discipline for responsibility. Discipline them with pleasures. Give me that phone. Give me that iPad. Telephone privileges are this and this and this. So you come to the place where you discipline for that, and you get God give you wisdom. And somebody said, how old should they be before I whip them? Well, my own opinion was I wouldn't whip a child before they're 15 months old. I mean, that's my own opinion. You take that. I'll just throw that out there. All right, two promises of discipline. If you will discipline, here's two promises that God gave. Discipline your son and he will give you happiness and peace of mind. Can I get an amen in this house? You know, one of the keys about discipline, the Bible says if you don't discipline, that in your latter years, a proverb says this, you will groan. And I have watched people that lived disciplined lives and then just threw caution to the wind and just did whatever they wanted to do. And I watched at the end of their life, they're groaning in life. They're groaning in life. And the second promise God gives us is this. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. One of the hardest jobs I ever had was back when I was about 23 years old. And I started the academy back here and I was principal. And they would bring me these 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds for me to whip. And I'm going to tell you, I was having a good day. I was singing, worshiping, getting my sermon together. Pastor Terry, here's your 4 kids. You need to whip them. I wasn't mad at them. I wasn't upset with them. I was having a great day at God, and they wanted me to whip these little darlings. I mean, you know, when they come in, I will tell you the hardest thing. No discipline is pleasant for the present time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Discipline will do you a great deal. Now, go back to number 3. Here is the most important. A lot of that stuff you guys have, you know, you do. And so I just wanted to run through those things, kind of but all of those 3 things we just talked about will work in a measure. But they will not work as they should until you get number 3 down completely. And this is the one I find most parents lacking in. And let me just give it to you. Number 3 is parents are to seek God's will for their children. You are to seek God's will for your children. Letter number A is discern your child's design. Discern your child's design. Jeremiah 1, here's what God said to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before Jeremiah's mama, before she ever was pregnant, God had a plan for a baby called Jeremiah. No matter what Jeremiah's mama had in store or Jeremiah's daddy had in store, God had a plan for little Jeremiah. And so the word came and said, before you were ever born, I've got a plan for your life. I have set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So before any DNA ever happened, before any embryo ever attached, God had a plan for that little baby, Jeremiah. And one of the keys was whatever Mama Jeremiah did, he came out as a prophet. So there needs to be an understanding where parents begin to discern. Look what David said in Psalms 139. You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, in the womb. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Every baby, before mama or daddy holds that baby in their arms, in heaven there was a book written, and all the days of that baby's life were written down. What God had planned for them, why they're coming into this world, what His purpose is for them, what God was going to do for them, through them, with them. God had a purpose. There's never an unwanted baby. Whether you might have been the product of a rape or whatever it may have been, you were not a surprise to God Almighty. You were born for a purpose. You were born for a reason. And the parent that understands that, that this baby I've got in my hands, this child that God has given me for a little time, it's beyond my idea. It's what God has designed for them. What God has purposed for them. What God's plan for them. So all of the discipline, all the example setting, all of the scriptures has to do with coming into agreement with what God has got for that child. Everybody say amen. What God wants to do, the works, so when to do that. So letter B is this. Letter B is accept. Here's the hard one. Accept your child's design. Accept your child's design. We had a youth pastor here many years ago called Mike Cooper. Mike was a ball player. Mike loved ball. I mean, I remember he played ball with different guys, and we had some LSU guys that he played ball with and did all this. And Mike and Melanie Cooper got married, and they had their first baby. It was a boy. And I remember I went over there one time, and they had all kinds of baseballs, bats, and all that stuff. And yet his firstborn child was more artistic than he was, you know, an athlete. Loved music, loved playing, loved all that. Let me tell you something. Don't fight it, guide it. Come on, somebody, that's a good saying. Don't fight your child's design, guide it. Don't relive your life through them. What you going to be when you grow up? One of the keys is do not fight it. Guide it. So one of the keys is you've got to accept the child design. Don't allow name tags to stand. Don't put that on them. Acts 10 speaks about that. You've got that in your own notes. Now, let me explain to you. Let me give you this, because here's the most important part that people misunderstand. Proverbs chapter 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That's what the regular translation says without the amplified version. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And what most people get from that is, train them up. That means make sure they go to church. Make sure they're in Sunday school. Make sure. And when they get older, they may go away from God for a while. But in the end, they'll come back after they sowed their wild oats. And it'll be great. Isn't that a great promise? Say no. Everybody say no. I ask you a question. Invariably, young parents are saying, when should I begin to train my child? The time that you begin to train your child is when you know your child. Otherwise, what are you training them? Well, just a general way, like most people go to college, just end up in general studies. What are you training your child for? Where are you aiming them? Where are they going? One of the most important things you do with your child or grandchildren is know your child. discern the will of God for their life, began to watch them, began to know that. At first glance, as I said, it seems that somehow God has given this piece of clay into your hands and you are to mold this now best you can. You're not. It's not my idea. All the days of their life are written down in a book in heaven. And God's got a purpose for their life. And the wise parent discerns that and asks the Lord for wisdom to know what is the will of God for this child's life. The word child, train up a child, that term child can mean anything from an infant all the way to marriageable age. It's used throughout the Old Testament and New, means a child from infancy all the way to marriageable age. So it's not just a little baby it's all the way through. And then it says, Proverbs 22, train up. And that's a key word, because the word train up, the Hebrew word, comes from a word that was used for the roof or the palate of your mouth, or literally the inside of your mouth. And what it was used for was when a baby was born, the midwife would put her finger many times in the Hebrew culture into dates and some liquid, some dates, and she would put her finger in the mouth of that baby and rub it around, and it would start a sensation where that baby would begin to suck. And then the baby would be handed to the mother. So what it meant was, it literally created a thirst in that baby's life. And so when it says train up a child, it means to create a thirst in that child. It means to put them to where you do things that it begins to create a thirst in that child for, and we'll get to that in just a second, but to train up meant to create a thirst in that child for something. And then in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6 and 4, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. And the word bring up is, in many translations, says train them. Same word. In that day, it was used of a gymnot, the word in the Greek, and it meant a gymnasium. And it meant a coach that would train an athlete. And the way they would train them is, okay, come on, let's do that. No, now, no, shoot it, no, throw it, no, do the tumble. No, and they would do it over and over and over. It was used also of a mind engraver. It was the way they used to engrave. They called it a mind engraver. How many had some children that took a little bit more mind engraving than other children? You had a few of those? And it meant to do something over and over until they got it. It meant to be an example until they get what it is you're trying to teach them to understand. So train them up. It meant to go do it over and over as you would catch a ball or throw it. And literally, it on and on. So one of the keys is, but here's the biggest key of that. Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child, and here's the most important part. In the way they should go. Because in the Hebrew, it literally says, according to their way. And the word way is the word derek. It means a characteristic. Train up, create a thirst, example it, do it over and over. Train them up in the way they should go. What? According to their characteristic. And it was used, this word derek was used in Proverbs. Look here, look at the next scripture. It's also used, if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent. The word bent is the word derek. It was translated not only way, but bent, characteristic. And that's why your child has a bent to them. When they come out of the womb, written in heaven, all the days of his life was already written out. God's got a purpose for them, and they are bent in a certain direction. And the wise parent discerns that and then creates a thirst for them to go in the direction of their bent. The way God's made them. What God's made them for. Not what we think they ought to do, where they ought to go, what they ought to do, but in the direction that God has bent them or created them to be. And he begins to teach about that, and he said, literally, train up a child according to his bent. And I believe this, one of the keys is when you learn and you have more than one child, how many of you understood when you have more than one child, how many of you, your children were totally different? Let's see your hands. Same mom and daddy, same green beans they eat every night, same house, same stuff they breathe, and they're absolutely, totally different. And the unwise parent will fashion discipline or training The same across the board. Every one of you going to do your homework at 3:30 in the afternoon. Every one of you. Every one of you going to do that. Every one of you going to do that. Every one of you going to. And what happens is, one of the things that causes rebellion in a child is when he senses or she senses that her mom or dad does not understand her. They don't understand. I don't understand it. I'll never forget. I remember one day I was showing someone how to close a guitar box. I don't remember how. I was just a little young. I was showing them how to close a guitar box. I got this little guitar from Western Auto. You ever got a guitar from Western Auto? You knew this was, top of the line. Western Auto guitar. And I remember I was showing them how I was going to close this. I remember it was an older person, and I remember this person just, I don't know what it was. I just remember thinking in my mind, when I get old, I'm not going to belittle children. I just came in my mind. I'm not going to do that. I listened to, you understand, some things that you decide as a child that you understand. And sometimes as a child you understand they're not smarter, they're just bigger than me. Could I get a better amen all that right there? So one thing is, an unwise parent sets all their training alike for their children. Let me tell you with my staff. Some of my staff love to come in early, early in the morning and get off earlier. Other of my staff loves to come in late and get off late. Some of my staff loves to work all weekend long. They don't like working. And I couldn't care less. They get their job done. They do it. You know what? Because everybody's made different. If you had prayer meeting every morning at 6 o'clock, I'd die because I wouldn't know what I was praying. I'd be so out of it, so dead to water. I'm not a morning person. Let's start praying about 10 o'clock at night. Boy, we can pray up a storm. Let's pray from 10 to midnight. Man, God is moving at 10 to midnight. And the Bible says anyway that the evening and the morning was the first day. So really, that's the beginning of, come on, that's the beginning of the day. Hallelujah. So at the start of every day, we go there. So what happens is, every child is different. Every child learns different. You can't put a whole shebang on there and say, I want every one of you to read this way. We're getting our family into shape now. We're going to do this discipline. Listen, I had one child, you look at them sideways and they start, woo, woo. I had another, hit me again, daddy. And so every one of your children are different. So they're all unalike. And what you do is this, you begin to understand, the wise parent comes to know the way the child is made. And two common mistakes in training is one, using the identical approach with all your children. And two, comparing children one to another. Why can't you be like Johnny? He's all outgoing. Why can't you be like your sister? You know, she's really this. Why can't you be like Susie, Jenny? Because I ain't Susie. Come on, somebody. And one thing you learn is don't compare your children. One's going to be good at this. One's going to be bad at that. One's going to be good in this area. One's going to be bad in that area. And so what you do is the unwise parent compares children. Never compare your children. Esau and Jacob was compared by mom and daddy. One loved one loved the other. So the wise parent realizes that the sovereign God of heaven has given you a gift. Now listen to this. The wise parent understands the sovereign God of heaven has given you a gift or more than one. And in that child's life, God has written all the days of their life in their life. And the wise parent then discerns what it is they're going to do with that child. And then creates a thirst. Trains them by creating a thirst, exampling it over and over and over. It's not going to happen at one time. And then discerning which way they're going. And then instead of ignoring it or rejecting it, they accept it. And they guide it. They don't fight it. They guide it. And you begin to let it guide. And God begins to move in that direction. And they're totally different. Now, how can we know then our children's bent? How can you know your child's bent? Proverbs says it this way. Even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. Watch this. The hearing ear, you that have ears to hear, let him hear. The hearing ear of a parent, child, the acts of a child makes himself known. The hearing ear, listening, and the seeing eye, God's watching, listening and watching this child. The Lord has made both of them. Let love not sleep lest you come to pot. Open your eyes and you'll have plenty of bread. Bread means refreshing. So one of the best things you can do, it says your child reveals his actions, the kind of person he is. And you've got to open your eyes. One day a little girl named Mary, an angel appears. Mary, your favorite of God, You're going to have a child. You'll never know a man. The Holy Spirit will overcome you. And that which is born of you will be of God. But he'll be great. And he'll be the son of David. He'll be the son of God. He'll sit on the throne of his father David. And you shall call his name Jesus. And the angel goes. Can you imagine? Here's a little girl. She's yet not pregnant. But she's already been told, here is the design of this child you're about to have. You're not to raise him the way you want to raise him. You're not to do with him. He's got a will of God for this is already placed. And Jesus is no different. Him coming in the world is no different than every other baby that ever came into this world. God just hadn't sent us angels to tell us everything about this child that God's given us. But the Bible says she listened to the angel. Oh, that's the will of God for this baby's life. That's the design. That's what this baby is going to be. And then after the pregnancy occurs, and they're going and the baby is born, the Bible says shepherds came that night. And listen what they said. Remember, they're out in the field and this angel choir appears to them. Lo, glory in the highest! Born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord. And you'll find him lying in a manger. He'll be all of this and all that. And these angels tell these shepherds all these things. And they come running in and they tell, when the shepherds come, they repeat everything they heard the angels say. And they're telling Mary and Joseph all these things the angel said about this little baby that's just been holding him in her arms. Notice what Mary did. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Mary's looking at this little baby. Oh, man. This isn't some piece of clay that I'm going to mold it the way that I want to mold it. This baby has a purpose. This baby has a will of God upon its life. This baby, all the days of its life, is already written in heaven. God's got a direction, a purpose for this baby. The Bible says she pondered these things in her heart and never forgot them. And what she did, she in her life, I believe this, she trained up, she created a thirst, she exampled it, her and Joseph. And they trained up this child according to his bent, according to his character, according to the will of God on his life. And this child fulfilled the will. He did not turn aside. And when he grew older, he never turned aside because they had done this. Everybody say amen this one, would you? Bring your lights down. Play this one last video.
It's only for a moment you were mine to hold. The plans that heaven has for you too soon unfold. So many different prayers I pray for all that you might do. But most of all, I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you. I pray that God would.
Keep the lights down just a little bit, would you? Close your eyes, everybody. Maybe you got off balance a little bit and you didn't realize that 75% of your just what you do is what they're going to be. Maybe you've not understood that it's the will of the Lord for their lives. That's what you're after. Not your own design, not your own desires, wants. Instead of fighting it, you want to guide it. Okay, Lord, here it is. I want to treasure these things. You watch them, a child will make itself known. Maybe you just got so busy, parenting is just, you know, kind of a, you know, something way down the line in the list of priorities. But I'm going to tell you, one day you will regret it with all your heart that you didn't. And all the parents here that have done that, you would agree with me. And all of us, nobody was perfect. We all made mistakes. But as older parents, we would really encourage the younger parents, don't let anything get out of the way of that. Keep God always first, but keep your family second. Your time with them, spending with them, what you do with them, sow your life into them, because it will make such a difference later on in life. Because it's just a little time and they are gone. And then you blink, and we talked about this, you blink and your children are gone. They're married, they've got their own children. You just blink. So as older parents, all of us in here would really encourage you younger parents. Don't stop climbing the wall. Stop climbing the ladder, you know, whatever it is you're upon. Put your heart and your mind back in your kids. It's not too late. You always put your hands back and ask God for wisdom. Repent of going after other things and thinking they're so important than your kids. They're not. Family matters. So, Father, this morning we just pray. We come in this house and we want to be pleasing in your sight. These were gifts and rewards you gave us as children, Lord, of children. And so, Lord, we want to be responsible and we want to do the very best that we're to do. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace where we failed. Thank you for helping us and bringing our children on through anyway and preparing them. But, Lord, help us now, even now, to be great grandparents and great grandparents. So we thank you for that. But I really pray for young parents here this morning. I just ask, Lord, that the presence of God and the anointing of God and the wisdom of God would come upon them and help them raise and guide their children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that they might train up a child in the way that he should go, and that when he grows old, he will not depart from it. We ask that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. We'll see you next week.